My name's Ken Westmoreland. I was born in 1941 at my grandmother's house in Whitwood, although my parents at that particular time lived in Mickletown, so I suppose you could say that I'm Mickletown bred and born. My father's name was Joseph Westmoreland. He was a miner all his life, retired at the age of 65. He worked at Methley Junction and the Whitwood Collieries. And later, in his later years, he worked at Savile Colliery at Methley.
And what kind of jobs did he do at the pit?
He was the onsetter. He was the onsetter mainly, although in his younger days, he worked on what they used to call the haulage.
And what about your granddad, Westmoreland? What did he do?
Yeah, granddad Westmoreland, he was a miner all his life. He worked on the coal face, but unfortunately, they didn't live very long, didn't they? That generation of miners, and he passed away when he was 61. He didn't get to retirement age.
Did you know him?
Yes, I knew him quite well. I knew him quite well. He was the son of Squire Westmoreland, which is an unusual name, and Squire Westmoreland originated from a family out of Rothwell. Yeah, my mother's maiden name was Savage. They originated from out of Hightown at Castleford, but it weren't the roots what were there, because her family came from all over the place, looking for work in the mines. A grandmother and grandfather came from out of Staffordshire, and another grandparents came from out of Prestwich in Lancashire, and settled round the Whitwood, Castleford area, looking for work in the mines. From 1941 to 1951, 10 years, I lived in Mickletown, a little place called Barrack Yard, where there was six houses, six small cottages. But unfortunately, the cottages were in disrepair. We had to move out. It was a one up and one down, one room downstairs and one bedroom. I was the only one in the family, but it still meant that my parents and myself were sleeping in the same bedroom. So we had to move out, and the only place what was available for us at that time was a place at Woodlesford All Saints, which was just being built. So in 1951, we uprooted from Mickletown and settled in on the All Saints Road, number 34. I remember us going in the removal van. I can remember the chappie who was either the driver or the assistant on the day. It was Bulmers, a Rothwell who moved us. And the chappie who was either the driver or was one of my friends, or a friend who I got to know through school. It was her father. And one of my best mates ended up marrying her, and she ended up being his wife. The estate was only a third built, but there was people coming from Carlton, Uzzlewell Green, Rothwell, and of course one or two of from Methley as well. So we all mixed in and all settled in and grew up together. I think it was the only choice really they had, because Dad were working at Whitwood Collieries. As I say, he could ride down the shaft to Methley Junction, or he got to go through to Whitwood. Now, anyone who knows or has lived in Woodlesford, you've nearly 20 minutes walk from All Saints to get to Alton Lodge to get a bus into Castleford and then in towards Whitwood. So it were a bit of a bind, but then the opportunity arose with a new estate being built in Methley, and as far as I'm aware, there were a couple who moved into this new estate at Methley who were Alton bred and born, and they were not as settled as what they thought they would be, and were wanted to get back really into the Alton Woodlesford area. And it gave us the opportunity to exchange. So they moved into 34 All Saints Road, and we moved into 112 Embleton Road, back into Methley after about 8 or 9 years.
When you first went to All Saints Road, were they still building houses around about you?
Oh, yes. As I say, probably there were only a third of the estate built. Maybe 40, 50 houses what were built. The rest were at scaffolding, various stages, at scaffolding up, and it was like anybody, a children's paradise, in and out of the houses when they were half built and on the scaffold. This was at the weekend, obviously. You couldn't go on when they were working, but on the weekend it was a free-for-all for us. It was a children's playground. They did have a night watchman on, but he wasn't there to see everything, what were happening on the estate all the time.
Do you know how long it took them to finish it?
We went in 51 and I bet it was 53, 54 before they actually completed all the estate. The flats were the last to be built. They left gaps in between the houses all the way around the estate. The final buildings were these flats what they built.
So the new house that you moved into, how did it compare to the old house that you'd lived in Methley?
Oh, paradise, absolute paradise. I mean, think on, we came out of Mickletown, no electricity, no toilet, no water. Yeah, I mean, to walk down to the, what we call the toilet, you'd walk 20, 30 yards down the yard, no lighting, kick the door to make sure the rats were out of the way before you got on. It was just no compare. I mean, a tin bath, that's what we had for bath night and that, but I mean, all this were all mod cons, electricity, heating and lighting and all. It was superb, superb.
And you what, had three bedrooms?
We had two bedrooms. I remember, I mean, I love the pictures at Woolsford, the Ritz, and I remember coming out of after the cinema had shown the first house or the second house, whichever we'd been, and then I'd got to walk up the hill on All Saints Road, but with the estate not being built, fully built, there were a lot of houses empty, there were no street lighting, it was pitch black, and I don't think my legs used to touch floor till I got it out. It was up there, up that hill, shattered. My mother'd say, have you run it up? Yeah.
It's a bit scary.
A bit scary, yeah.
Did you have enough furniture to fill the house when you moved in?
No, we didn't, no. No, that's another thing, because, I mean, it was a very little cottage what we had, and, we just got the basics like you do, you know, your kitchen table and that. So, yeah, it were a pretty expensive time, and, in the 1950s, there weren't a lot of money around, and obviously a lot of people then were getting stuff on a higher purchase where to go. You get a three-piece suite and pay so much a week for it, but that were everybody's way of living at that time. That there weren't that amount of spare cash around, like, you know.
You were 10 years old when you went to Woodlesford. Tell me what you can remember about the next few years. Then tell me about you going to school and your mates. And
yeah, well, as I say, it were like a complete strange world. Although there was the odd one or two what had come from Methley who I knew, but, you know, you're making new friends and finding out whereabouts they lived. Some lived in Oulton, some lived as far as Rothwell and were coming down Holmesley Lane. But there were quite a few lads what were on All Saints, which it didn't take you long to bond in and get friendship going. And a lot of lads what we stuck together were lads who used to love playing football. Football in the winter, cricket in the summer. That was a great level for us all. We loved the same pastimes.
Where did you play?
Well, it's called Northwood Falls, I believe now, or something like that. But that was like the local football field in Woodlesford at top of Church Street. And, we played there. We spent a lot of time as young lads on there. A lot of time, yeah, absolutely brilliant. Of course, Woodlesford didn't have a cricket field, so organised cricket matches through school. We had to go down and play at Alton there. That's where we learnt as bit of cricketing, like.
What else did you get up to apart from sport? Is there anything else that you did?
Mostly, well, it was sport, but we loved the pitches. I don't think there were a kid brought up in Woodlesford or Alton what didn't love going to Ritz. When we first went there, of course, there were no Sunday viewing at the Ritz, but I can remember them coming round with leaflets wanting people to sign a petition to see if they could get it up and running, and as far as I was aware, it seemed to go through without any problem. It obviously didn't clash with the services at the local churches, so yeah, it were up and running, but it were absolutely brilliant.
What films do you remember?
Oh, films. Well, the early films were like the children's matinee on a Saturday morning, where you flash Gordon and stuff like that, where it was like a continuous film that used to stop at a certain point and you had to wait till next week to see if he survived. They all survived, like, but And then as you grow up then into the 14, 15, so, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis and Bud Abbott, Lou Costello, some John Wayne and films very much similar to that. But I think the films changed about four times a week, and I was very lucky. I didn't miss many at that time.
Do you remember getting television for the first time?
Yes, yeah. I do. I remember 1953 when we first got TV. It was roughly around about April time. I know we got it not too long before the Matthews final, which was 1953 when Blackpool beat Bolton 4-3, losing 3-0 at half time, and then it all turned round for Blackpool and Stanley Matthews, and Blackpool won 4-3. And then not long after that, which was May into June, was Coronation Day, and I can remember being in the front room at All Saints, and we had a fair big party of neighbours and that all sat watching our little telly, like, because there weren't a lot of people at tellies at that particular time in 1953. They weren't fantastic, they weren't like they are today. You got to try and darken the screen down, keep the curtains closed if the sun was shining, because it never, you didn't get the true, all right on the night time, but during the daytime they were very, very poor for viewing what TVs then, But yeah, I can remember coming home from Woodlesford School and looking in between the houses, and I could see the aerial, because there was just one bar of aerial fastened on there. Like, it's there, like, you know. And then, of course, I think it would be 1954, 55, when ITV come on the scene, and you got to have them, like, modified. The little metal box what was shoved under your TV to get the ITV, but... Yeah, the good years.
So your dad was one of the first to get a telly in that?
He was one of the first.
Do you know whether he bought it or rented it?
I think it was a purchase, where you put your name down and you paid so much a week for it. But the one thing what I can always remember, and this is going back to one of the football lads, the lad who captained the football team, Malcolm Anforth, I once went to his house this cabinet was there, I says, well, what's that? Is it a record player? No, he says, it used to be. He says, it's a television. Oh, so you've got a television. Oh, yeah, he says, my dad's made it. I never. He says, yeah, he has. He's made it. He made that himself. And, of course, you're inquisitive and that. And yeah, as true as we are, that... Yeah, Mal Camford's dad had made his own television, and they were viewing. And I don't think it was the first one what he'd actually made. I think he'd had a go years before and tried to develop a television. So, yeah, Malcolm Amforth's dad, everybody what I knew, Mr. Amforth makes his own televisions, you know, as kids. So,
did you roam about the village very much? Where did you go?
Yeah, I can remember, as I say, coming from Methley, I remember coming to Woodlesford in 1951, and the one thing what really good about All Saints is that it were really close to the railway station, and at that particular time I were absolutely crackered on train spotting. So I were out of the house, 2 minutes walk down the road, and I was sat on the platform there all day, every day, watching the trains go by and checking the numbers in and that. So that settled me in really, really well, because I love that part of that part of me growing up. It was absolutely brilliant. And some people used to go to York and really big stations to try and train spot. But I was quite happy there, and it was just getting me settled in. And then of course you meet lads, you meet different friends, don't you? And friends what stayed with me for life, even though I moved back to Methley, back into Mickletown. I've friends for life over there.
Is there anything different about Woodlesford and Methley?
Oh, a lot of difference.
What's the difference?
Oh, when I first went there in 51, this was like the outback, got little gas lamps, and everybody were in bed at 6:30 and 7 o'clock on a night, curtains drawn, nobody about its street. I went to Woodlesford, and of course there's a picture house there, and the main road, busy people up. Oh, I couldn't believe where I'd come to, but I was loving it. I loved it, mate. Well, it let me loose, like, you know, because, yeah, it were absolutely superb. But, yeah, there's a vast difference between, though there was then anyway, between Oulton and Woodlesford and Little Mickletown here. And say it were outbacks like this. I mean, even in late 50s, early 60s, there was still no electric lighting on Main Street at all, still gas lamps. And, you know, but Woodlesford, we had all these orange lights, streets of orange lights all over the place. But, yeah, it was, and the people were different. The people seemed to be far more forward, where in Mickletown it was really, everything was kept reserved in a way. I don't know why. I soon grew up. I grew up in 12 months, more than I'd grown up here in 10 years, you know. But maybe that was the age I was like at 10, but... Yeah, I loved every... My time, my 8 year, 9 year at Woodlesford, I loved every minute of it. Every minute I did.